Good morning, Mike Broomhead.
Good morning, Jamie West. Thanks for this morning. Busy show, obviously. Arizona's morning news. Big interviews this morning. You can hear some of those coming up in a few moments, including Brandon Judd. That's where we start this morning. The Arizona border, along with the full southern border of the United States. We have seen more border crossings, more apprehensions, over 178,000 in April. There is I think the number I saw was 948% increase over last year. Brandon Judd was on with Arizona's Morning News and was talking about how many apprehensions there were and what's happening with this administration. Let's start with the most apprehensions. This is a staggering figure.
These are the most apprehensions we have ever had in the history of the Border Patrol. So that's scary. But what's even more scary is the number of gotaways.
So a gotaway, which they explain is people that get away. They don't know who they are. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what their intentions are. And there's a couple of things that are happening here. We've seen less children coming across the border, which is good news. But when you're dealing with that, when you know you're stuck with ICE and Border Patrol dealing with unaccompanied minors, and this is the problem I watched happen years ago in McAllen, Texas. There's where the problem lies. Any good team does an assessment after a situation, good or bad. You put on an event, and which I've done a bunch of, and every group I've ever been associated with, when the event is over, I don't care if it's an annual event or a monthly event, when it's over, they get together and they assess, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What can we do better? How can we be better next time? There is a debriefing. It happens in police situations. It happens in good things, in event planning. It's the way you make yourself better and better prepared. I guarantee you that there is going to be a lot of reassessment about COVID-19. This thing came on fast and it happened and hit us hard. And there will be reassessment of every aspect of COVID-19 to figure out how we can handle it better the next time. So we saw a surge of unaccompanied minors years ago during the Obama administration. And Joe Biden was the vice president then. And you would think that there would be a reassessment done by every agency involved, ICE, Border Patrol, by the White House itself, Homeland Security, and they would assess, how do we stop this from happening again? What did we do well? What do we need to fix so we're better prepared next time something like this happens? Well, it's happening now, and it's bigger than it's ever been. So one of two things is happening. Either they did not do any kind of a debrief, or this is intentional. The president himself, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, the president himself said during the campaign that he wanted to create a surge at the border, that was something that they wanted to do. They've tried to blame this on the previous administration, saying, you know, there was this dam that was built at the border. And once they broke the dam, now we're just seeing this. Well, this is not the case. The policies of this administration are obvious. And the American people aren't happy about this. Not Democrats, not Republicans, the American people. We are good people. We are welcoming people. As a matter of fact, I don't know any American, and there are some, I'm sure, but I don't know any Americans that don't see a naturalization ceremony, especially when it happens on the 4th of July here. When you see someone who was born in another country renounce the citizenship of their country and wave an American flag as they're sworn in as an American. We welcome immigrants to this country. We always have, and I believe we always will, and we always should. When you have people that illegally cross your border, there are a number of reasons why they do it, but it's still illegal. And they'd still done the wrong way. And it still puts a burden on the border towns. It still puts a big burden on our systems. One of the stories I saw today had to be with the foster care system in the U.S. The foster care system in the U.S. is overwhelmed already, and we're bringing in and allowing in thousands and thousands of these kids. And the worst part about all of this is we're doing nothing to take away the incentive to send more. And it's happening over and over and over again. And these apprehensions, it's got to stop. And if we keep ignoring this, if because of American politics, we keep ignoring this, and we don't shine a bright light on it, it's going to do damage to the people that are crossing, because it is a human rights disaster, and because it's also going to destroy parts of who we are. We continue to fight, and the correlation between this and COVID-19, we continue to fight COVID-19, and we continue to argue about mask wearing in public, and we're going to talk a lot about that today. We're going to talk a lot about what we do as a country. Should we get vaccinated? Shouldn't we? Stay 6 feet apart, distance, keep these protocols in place, do this to be safe, do that to be safe. And people are crossing the border. I just saw a message from a friend on Facebook talking about a relative, a friend's relative coming over from Germany, I believe it was, and the hoops they had to jump through in order for the United States to let them land on an airplane and visit family members. And they've also been warned that the United States has the right to refuse you entry, even if you show up here and you fulfill everything they want. You got they had to get a vaccine, they had to get tested, vaccinated. They had to prove that they were related to this person closely. They had to describe what their visit was all about to get on an airplane to visit here in the U.S. And the borders of the United States are wide open. I mean, just fly that plane to Mexico City, walk across the border. No one's going to ask any questions. As a matter of fact, we'll feed you, we'll clothe you, and we'll probably bus you to whatever city you want to go to. This is a complete contradiction from everything they've been telling us about COVID-19 or otherwise. It's a complete contradiction. And instead of the American media shining a light on this and saying, how can you tell the American people to continue to mask up, to get vaccinated, vaccinate their kids, keep the schools closed, distance in schools, we don't know what we're going to do in the fall. All of that's going on. And at the very same time, you've got thousands of people jammed into facilities at the southern border. You're releasing them into border towns, many of them right here in Arizona. You're busing them up to Phoenix, and you're just dropping them off at a bus station. They're not being tested. We don't know what's going on. And how much are you really concerned about COVID-19? You know, and that's from the American perspective. But again, we are taking people in desperate situations. They are paying the cartels thousands of dollars. They become enslaved to the cartels in many ways. Yesterday, there was a bunch of kids, babies, that were just dropped off and found in the middle of nowhere. And yet we are still allowing this to happen. You mean to tell me that the American government doesn't have the ability to shut this down? It is crazy. When Brandon Judd talks about the ones that got away, they call them gotaways. This is what he said.
Right now, we're on pace to have as many gotaways this calendar year as President Obama had in apprehensions in his worst year. Mm. We're on pace to have around 475,000 gotaways. Again, and I told you this before, these are people that we don't know who they are, where they're coming from, or what their intentions are. And that's 475,000 people that we're on pace. We've already had 125,000 to this point in this year. That is extremely scary, and it should be concerning to all citizens.
And if you don't think that the enemies of this nation see this weakness and are trying to exploit it, you're crazy. You know that's exactly what they're doing. This is an area in this administration that they are failing, and they have dismal approval numbers on from both sides of the political aisle. And we cannot only blame the Biden administration. We also have to hold accountable the Congress, because the Congress writes the laws. They could get together and come up with something. You know, nobody wants, either party wants them to work with the other side. If you are a Democrat and you work with Republicans, the Democrats hate you. If you're a Republican and you work with Democrats, the Republicans hate you. So you can be friends behind the scenes, but when you're face to face and you're in the public, you better hate each other. Well, that's got to end at some point for some of these things, especially something like this. This is the number, what we're doing about expulsions.
CBP's own numbers clearly show that we're only expelling about 62% of those individuals that cross the border illegally. Therefore, we're releasing, 38% of those individuals. So the border is anything but closed.
And that's absolutely true. And why are we not doing something? As a matter of fact, in a moment, what we're going to do is we're going to speak with a border sheriff, Mark Lamb, sheriff of Pinal County. When we say border sheriff, we understand that Pinal County does not border the southern border of the United States. It borders the Tohono O'odham Nation, the tribal land. The tribal land borders Mexico. So they cross through the tribal land and through an area, Vico Valley and others, but they cross through Pinal County. They have a huge problem in Pinal County. But we're also going to talk to the sheriff, because it's police week. And we're going to talk to the sheriff about a brand new network he's forming that's featuring sheriffs from across the country. All that's coming up in a few moments. Stick around.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. It is the Mike Broomhead Show. It is police week, and we've been talking about law enforcement for quite a long time, honoring the men and women in law enforcement. Recently, I was talking about the absence of anything that talks good about police officers. Cops is off the air. Live PD is off the air. We don't see those shows anymore. And it's a shame. We should see some things about behind the scenes, what goes on in policing. I think it's interesting to people. How long of a run did cops have? Joining us right now is Pinal County Sheriff Mark Lamb. And Sheriff, first of all, you were on Live PD a lot, right? You were a host there, weren't you?
Yeah, so we did. We actually had Live PD with us at our agency for about a year. They were back with us when they canceled. And then I was also fortunate enough to be a co-host on a show called Live PD Wanted, where it was kind of like Live PD meets America's Most Wanted. So, yeah, it was good. I mean, I'm a huge proponent of law enforcement. I think every voice, all the voices that we can get to them are good. So
you've decided you're going to launch a streaming network that is going to feature law enforcement. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Yeah, you know, the past few years have been difficult for all of us in law enforcement. So our goal with the American Sheriff Network is to give back the voice to the deputies who courageously put on the badge every day and they care for our communities. And one thing we want to do is we want to showcase the men and women that serve and protect us. We're going to put you back in the front seat, which is what people want. And for those ride-alongs, and then we're going to highlight training, and then we're going to talk about the sheriffs. We're going to see America through their eyes, and we're going to keep the shine on the badge. The fact of the matter is we haven't lost that shine. The media and certain politicians would have you believe that we have, but the truth is that the majority of Americans still support law enforcement, and we want to give ourselves a voice back.
Yeah, my brother is a lieutenant with the sheriff's office in my hometown and in Florida. And he said to me once, he doesn't feel less safe. He does feel less respected sometimes. Do you echo that sentiment? Do you think there's less respect sometimes for law enforcement?
I absolutely do. I think that what we've done is, you know, we live in a great community. Pinal County's great. Arizona's great. And you know, we don't see what a lot of other states see across this country. But there is a lack of respect. And I think it's kind of a generational thing, but it also is something that is a byproduct of our national mainstream media pushing this narrative out that police are bad and that we're out to hurt people and that people are dying at the hands of police every day. All of those things are just not true. And we want to make sure that narrative gets out there, the true narrative, that law enforcement does an amazing job. We respond to millions of calls a year with very, very low rate of error or mistakes, and it is just unfair to paint us in any other light.
One of the interesting things I read about the network you're starting is you're going to show training and talk about training. I don't think people realize the extensive training and continuing training that law enforcement officers go through.
Yeah, there's a fallacy out there that we just don't train, and that's just not true. Now, all of us, I'll speak as an administrator, and most administrators that I talk to will share that same sentiment, that we would love to train our guys more. We don't have the manpower to do that, and we don't have the funding to train our guys up to the level we would like to train them. But to believe that, or to think that we do not train our deputies and our law enforcement guys is just not true. There's an extensive amount of training that goes into a deputy's career or an officer's career. And we want to showcase a lot of that training, just show you it's not easy training, but it's things that we do so that we can provide the best product possible to the taxpayer and the community. And these men and women work hard to stay on top of their game.
How are you going to be able to do the job as sheriff and do this? There's a lot of people saying, is this going to compromise your job as the sheriff? Where are you going to find time?
Well, I work 50 to 60 hours a week, and that's not going to change at all. I'm having to peel off time as family time. All my kids are out of the house now. My wife and I sat down. We made a decision as a family that this is important to us. We think it's important to America, and it's certainly important to our profession. And, you know, sacrifices have to be made. We've gotten a little soft as Americans sometimes. If there's a sacrifice involved, then we don't want to do it. And we need people, men and women, who are strong, courageous, that are still going to go out and make sacrifices. And what kind of man am I to ask these guys to put on the badge, but then not even make a small sacrifice for my family to give them a better life? This isn't going to affect it. In all honesty, this is only going to make me better as a sheriff, because I'm going to different sheriff's offices and learning so many different things, and I'm going to be able to come and apply a lot of ideas and techniques and programs into my own agency that our taxpayer didn't have to pay for. You know, that's something I went out and did on my own time. So it's not going to take away from my ability to do my job. I think it's going to make me better as a sheriff and better as a law enforcement official.
If people want to learn more about the network, is there a place, is a website or place they can go now?
Yeah, so it's americansheriff.com. Just so they know, right now we just have a landing page up. We're going to go live in about 10 days, and we're going to start having videos. We'll produce about 10 videos a week, different types of videos, training, the ride-along, the action, the stories. We're showing the stories behind our law enforcement guys. I'll tell you, it's going to be great. It's really going to be a good interactive experience. It'll be $4.99. And they'll watch it there. Now, eventually, we'll hopefully have an app that they can find on their smart TV and connect right there on their TV.
Sheriff, I hope you'll pass along to all the deputies that work for you. We appreciate the work you do, especially as we recognize Police Week. And thanks for everything. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you, Mike. And I'll tell you what, the guys appreciate you for you standing behind the badge. We're grateful for you and voices like yours. And thank you for having me on. And thank you for that support.
All right, thanks. That is Sheriff Mark Lamb of Pinal County launching a new network so we get the inside look at police work. And it's something I'm going to check out myself. And wanted to talk to him during this continuing as we continue to talk about Police Week and honoring the men and women that serve. In a moment, it's Gatos and the Big Q poll question of the day. And just after 9 o'clock, are people losing faith in the CDC? We'll talk about that coming up in just a few moments.
The Gatos Big Q poll question brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
Hey, good morning, Gatos.
Better get off the air fast.
Why now?
There's a run on gas. You better get your car.
Yeah, you know, I that's so funny. Arizona, I was looking at this and what's happening on the East Coast, because my family lives in Florida on the East Coast. And this is no joke over there, but hopefully it's not going to affect us too bad here.
I'm seeing a lot of pictures of people getting gas, right?
Yeah.
And then hoarding gas. You know what that sounds like?
Yeah. Masks.
Toilet paper.
Yeah, and toilet paper.
It's the sequel, Mike. We got a lot of dopey people out there, and this is going to be, this is the next thing. So I don't know about, let's see. You got a break coming up at 9. They're going to do the news. I don't know. If I were you, I'd probably, you know, break a little early, get in your car, go fill up, come back. You can catch the 9 o'clock
hour.
Yeah,
there's a gas station right around the corner, so we could probably jet down there.
See? I mean, that's it. Do you have, do you want to hoard some too? Do you have any of those?
I've got some gas cans.
Well, this is something to, grab me some.
I will. And I'll sell it to you at almost at cost. hey, I've got a question. Before we get into your question, I want to just promote something of yours very quick that I just found out about. The St. Mary's Food Bank drive that you do.
Yeah, about that.
I'm telling you, it is just, all the joking aside between you and I, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Good for you guys.
Yeah, it's Food Bank Fridays. Chad and I, you know, spoke last year about what was going on with these lines. And, I mean, I just can't take it, man. I can't take it if a family is hungry. I literally will sit there and start to tear up. I can't watch that stuff. You know, you watch all those lines. So we decided to do something about it. And I think last Friday we got 10,000 meals on the first day. So that's pretty cool. And we're going to do it every Friday for, you know, at least the foreseeable future. So. I mean, and, you know, I've said this for what? I've been a KTAR 23 years. If you don't jump in and help your community, you should be fired.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be on the radio. I don't care if you get good ratings. No. You have to help because that's part of, you know, you have this show that people listen to. I don't know why they listen, but, you know.
They listen. I'm like you. I don't know why they listen, but I'm glad they do.
So, I mean, you got to hop in and help or you're not doing your job. So.
That's awesome. That is and really, truly awesome. I'm going to help promote as much as I can as well. And St. Mary's is such a great place. So, all right, let's get to the question.
All right, here's where I rip you.
All right.
Because you're a Republican. And I like to poke fun at you guys. You canceled Liz Cheney today. Can't believe it. But that's not the question. An elected Arizona official says the COVID-19 vaccine causes death and turns those who get the shot into potted plants. Are you talking about this on the...
No, I'm not. Oh, I'm going to let you talk about it.
It's good. No, you should talk about it. Is this the craziest thing a Republican has said this year in Arizona? So I've got three special answers for you, Mike.
All right.
I've got yes, no, and then I've got C, Not even close.
Okay.
Do you want to vote for C? Because I'm going to update the poll.
I am
54%. Not even close.
It is not even close. Unfortunately, 30, I have to agree with you. It 31. Is not even close. So,
what kind of plant do you think you're going to end up being?
Stop.
A fern?
Stop.
I would like to be a bougainvillea. You know why? Because you can't kill it. You don't want to touch it because it's like
all
lethal.
Right. So. You're killing me. All right, I'm out of time. You're done ripping Republicans. Thanks, Gatos.
I like Republicans. I like to tease. Potted plants, Mike. Potted plants.
Thank you, Gatos.
Okay.
The Gatos Big Q poll question today brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. We'll be back, and we'll be talking about the CDC.